This is a short introduction to my participation in the mid-late 1970s, co-helping create the initial Member Conduct Committee. After having been forced to resign under coercion at Martin Company in 1974, I backed off activities of a professional nature until the Constitution was amended and professional activities was added. And IEEE then entered an amicus curiae legal brief under Steve Unger's leadership in the Bart case, which influenced me greatly. And I was involved then trying to restore professional support and advice to engineers working in industry that faced the need to resolve problems between themselves and their employer over enforcing and abiding by the IEEE Code of Ethics. So I got involved heavily. IEEE then was formed in 1963. From 1884 until that time, 1963, the Institute and its forerunners only delved in technical activities. It wasn't until the members led by USAB in the early 70s amended the Constitution to add professional activities along with technical activities, making IEEE a full-rounded professional society of a technical nature. In 1977, Steve Unger was very active with myself and Victor Zoris when the draft material for USAB was being created to create a member conduct committee. USAB was creating its own proposals, and the board of directors had Jim Furman, an attorney member of IEEE, prepare theirs. Then they were brought together. Well, Steve headed up the work session at a hotel in Manhattan on a Saturday morning in May 1977, which sketched out on a large easel draft board the framework for what has become and codified as member discipline bylaws, policies, and procedures. Likewise, I took the lead and led the task force, this was the USAB task force, developed similar flow diagram and material, which created the approach to be taken when a member requested ethical support and ethical advice. I submitted my copy directly to the History Center, maybe 10 years later, but it got misplaced. So Steve led the discipline procedures. I led the ethics advice and ethical support in the USAB proposal, which was merged with the Board of Directors version developed by Jim Furman. These two procedures then was presented at the board meeting in November in San Diego, 1977. At the request of USAB President John Guerrero, I went to San Diego and presented the USAB proposal alongside of what Jim Furman presented being the board's proposal. These two were merged, and which created the Member Conduct Committee February 1978. Once the Member Conduct Committee got established, I wanted to submit a complaint or request for ethical support, but my wife asked, "Walter, just let it go." So what I did, I submitted a complaint against the Director of Engineering that led the activity, which caused me to be forced to resign. But the Member Conduct Committee did not consider it had merit or did not want to go forward with it. So I was unsuccessful and I did finally let it go. For the next 20 years, during which I served on the Member Conduct Committee, 1996 through 1998, I was very active with Steve Unger and others in managing various ethics programs initiated by the Ethics Committee. We were very successful with Hotline, writing articles, giving advice, supporting members. Here's an interesting footnote of history. In the very beginning, I was contacted within 6 months of the Member Conduct Committee being formed by Virginia Egerton. She had run into problems at working for the City of New York, developing and upgrading the police dispatch system, and was forced to resign. In fact, she was fired and was asking IEEE for ethical support. She contacted me. I referred it to Steve Unger because I did not have the experience yet. He successfully led the IEEE into getting into the Bart case and submitting the amicus curiae. So he, under CSIT, handled that investigation of her complaint and wrote an investigative report of support. Submitted a copy to the Member Conduct Committee. The CSIT published their findings. The Member Conduct Committee did not publish theirs at all. Then when I was serving on the Memory Conduct Committee, 1996, 1998, Salvador Castro, a medical engineer, uncovered a defect in a product that under some circumstances could kill infants. And he brought this to his attention of his management with a very simple solution. They refused. He then said, well, I'm going to the Food and Drug Administration, the regulatory body, to report this. And they fired him. And he came to IEEE in CSET. And then that with our hotline actually handled it. And then it came into our Member Conduct Committee, which I was serving on. And I was handling the Ethics Committee to Member Conduct Committee liaison, brought the case in. And the chair of the Member Conduct Committee I was serving on wanted me to and tried to force me to recuse myself. For whatever reason, I have no idea. And I absolutely refused to do that. But that was an indication of the attitude against ethical support. The first 20 years of IEEE existence, there was no ethical support done by the Member Conduct Committee other than the handling of the case by Virginia Egerton and Salvador Castro. Virginia Egerton actually was handled first by the CSET, and then it was turned over to the Member Conduct Committee. Salvador Castro came in through the separate Ethics Committee's hotline, and then it was brought into the Member Conduct Committee. There was an attitude against this, eventually leading in the 1998 to gutting of all these activities and basically firing all of us that were active in providing support to the members. Sorry, I'm emotional, but that's what I experienced until the board in secret session gutted all of that and removed us from our positions. Once the Ethics Committee's hotline was terminated by the board in 1998, I contacted Carolyn Whitback at the Online Ethics Center, and Steve Unger and I and others, Vic Zoris, Ray Larson and others, we formed a continuation of the hotline that was run by the Ethics Committee, but this was now under the Online Ethics Center. We operated that just as we did IEEE for several years, and it was very successful. Eventually, it and the whole operation at the Online Ethics Center was turned over to the National Academy of Engineering. They ran the hotline for a while, and then they terminated it for whatever reason, I don't know. So this is my account, which had not ever been made public before by me speaking on it, about my forced resignation of experiences I had with ethical support, the need for it, my getting involvement, my way of working to change the situation, and this is where things stand today. Thank you.